Good morning, I'm Anna Palmer.
And I'm Jake Sherman.
And welcome to the Daily Punch, brought to you by Punch Bowl News. It's Monday, April 15th, 2024, tax day for all you stragglers. But let's get into the mix about what's happening in Washington. Here are your Washington headlines of the day. Number one, Speaker Mike Johnson's new test, Ukraine and Israel funding. Number two, from the vault, Ken Griffin pours money into supporting certain House Republicans. And number three, the lone anti-abortion Democrat. All right, Jake, let's get into it. We have been talking about Ukraine, Israel funding, what Speaker Mike Johnson is going to do, but of course, Iran's recent attacks on Israel, putting this into focus even more so. And, you know, as much as it's been the focus on Ukraine so much over the past couple of weeks and months, now with the attacks on Israel, all of a sudden the pressure to do this is increasing. And also the challenges truly remain for Johnson. It's not as if this change the dynamic that much that it's going to be easy for him to get something passed.
No, and we make the argument this morning, actually, that this could be, and Brez wanted to stay away from this, but I'll say it here because he doesn't listen to the podcast. This is a massive week for Johnson. Like, that is just undeniable. He has to balance global security, election year politics, and basically his desire to save his job. He's been delaying, Anna, for goodness gracious, a very long time, months. The broad based desire from the global community and Washington. And this is not just something that Washington wants, this foreign aid package. This is something that the global community has indicated that Johnson needs to do to support Ukraine and now Israel. He has put this off because he doesn't want to have to deal with it. It is difficult, very difficult. But Iran's first ever attack from Iranian soil on Israel is putting immense pressure on him. And I'm going to, you know, he's putting some messaging bills on the floor, and I don't mean to, they're not messaging bills, but some smaller bills on the floor on sanctions, et cetera, this week, 17 different bills, some on rules, some on suspension. That's just a small part of the equation. There's a House Republican conference meeting at 5:30 this evening, which we will cover, of course. But there are two general options here, Anna, and we could talk about them on the flip side. Johnson can move the Senate bill. This is $14 billion for Israel, money for Ukraine and Taiwan. And he could do it with some token Republican wins that are pre-cooked by Schumer and the White House. Schumer has indicated he would help Johnson out. He wants to make this easy for Johnson. How he would do that, he would accede to a couple victories, Republican victories. It doesn't smooth the process at all for Johnson. They've talked about putting those wins in another bill. That's a stupid play. I don't think they'll do that once they think about it a little bit more, because the Senate will ignore those and just pass the underlying bill. If he brings up the Senate package, he'll probably... his job's probably at risk. Just be clear about that. It's the most likely scenario. Number two option, he could move an Israel-only aid bill. This is where we're told that he's leaning. He could probably, not definitely, pass this through the House. But this would be a big blow to Ukraine, a big blow to Ukraine aid. He has given assurances to donors and colleagues and the White House and everybody under the sun that he would move Ukraine aid. So I think this is a real pickle for him, because the easy thing is to just move Israel aid. And I was talking, Anna, last night to the Israelis, who said they really need the aid. I mean, in the past, there's been some questions.
Which is different in terms of how they have, their posture has been up to now, right?
Yeah, it seems to be different. It's different according to my conversations. I mean, there was a desire for aid. They wanted the aid. They knew they needed it in the future. I think now the Israelis feel as if they need the aid. Now, I'm not in their ledgers. I don't know what exactly they want, need, and what the level of need is versus, you know, I just don't know all those answers. But listen, this isn't an easy decision for Johnson. I know people say, just put the Senate bill on the floor. I get, yes, he could do that. It's just a very complicated equation. And by the way, I'm not, he cannot get a rule for the Senate bill. He can't. There's no way. So he'd have to put it on suspension. Can the Senate bill pass on suspension? I don't know the answer to that. I just don't know that it has the support of 2/3 of the House. I know people were barking at me when I tweeted this yesterday that it could definitely get it on suspension. I don't know the answer to that. I simply don't. So a big week for Johnson before a week-long recess here. And Anna, what say you?
Hey, listen, it is going to be, I think you lay out the kind of tough choices Johnson has to make. What is hard, in some ways, this has been clearly a change in dynamic. I think to your point of, can he get 2/3 on the House floor? Does this attack on Israel change some of the weakening, I would say, among Democrats who've been very frustrated with how Netanyahu has operated, and a lot of the kind of pressure that they wanted to have, not just kind of a blank check here, right? That they wanted to be there to be certain, you know, kind of constraints to the money in terms of how aid was getting into Gaza and other things. We don't know yet. I mean, I know that there's been so much focus just on support of Israel at this point, but that is going to be something to watch, I think, as well. And the point of what you say is, you know, I think the other big thing for Johnson is he's been pretty deliberative, I guess, is the kindest way of putting it.
That's a nice way to say it. Yeah, that's a nice way to say it.
Facing kind of paralysis when it comes to some of these really, really critical issues of the day. And so the point here is there is momentum to do something, much more so than there was before the attacks on Israel. But how does he kind of suss that out in terms of what is the art of the possible among House Republicans? And clearly the art of the possible is what he's looking to, is to keep it, to do this and to keep his job. And that is the conundrum that only he can kind of figure out what he thinks the conference is willing to do, and what some of these people in the conference, like a Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, you know, aren't necessarily thinking of the long game for his speakership, but are frustrated with, you know, kind of different policy wins that they, you know, from their perceived perspective that they're giving Democrats. Going to just be, you know, a lot of it's going to be, I think this meeting at 5:30 is going to be really interesting to really start taking the temperature here where Republicans are.
And the idea, Anna, and we keep saying this, but the idea that Johnson could pass Ukraine aid, be kicked out of the speakership by Republicans and survive with Democrats is not something that we see as feasible or possible. I mean, it would be nice for Johnson if it were true, but I don't think it's going to be feasible for Johnson to remain a Republican speaker without Democratic support. I think that's going to be incredibly, incredibly difficult. It would be easy if it were the West Wing, but this isn't the West Wing. It's Congress.
There you go. Also worth noting that House GOP leaders are also planning to formally present the articles of impeachment against DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate on Tuesday. Assuming this happens, the Senate could vote to dismiss or table the trial as soon as Wednesday. GOP conservatives have threatened to force votes to drag out this process. Just, I want to note that this is going to be going on at the same time as the kind of overall dialogue on Israel and Ukraine in the House. Let's move on to the number two story of the morning from the Vault, Punchbowl News' financial policy vertical. We've got some news here that Ken Griffin, the founder of Citadel and one of the world's most successful hedge fund tycoons, has given $4 million to Congressional Leadership Fund, the super PAC backed by House Republican leadership.
That's right. Griffin gives a lot of money, but this time he gave $4 million to CLF to support Juan Ciscomani, Don Bacon, Michelle Steele, and Jen Kiggins. You'll notice a couple things here. These are four very popular House Republicans. moderate in the scheme of the current House Republican conference, and all seats that Joe Biden won in 2020. So this is an interesting peek into Griffin's political donations and his just general playing in politics. He's given lots of millions of dollars, gave $10 million to a super PAC for Dave McCormick in Pennsylvania. That's a lot of dough, but he has, this is a big, you know, listen, the CLF is going to play in all these races, so it's not bad to have an extra $1 million for each of those seats.
All right, let's run to the number three story of the morning, 2024 Election Watch. House Democrats are hammering a pro-abortion message this cycle, hoping to repeat the gains they made during the 2022 cycle. But Representative Henry Cuellar, the Democrat from Texas, won't be joining them. Mika Solnor is reporting on the fact that Cuellar is the sole anti-abortion Democrat in his caucus and is rejecting colleagues' calls to support federal protections for abortion. In fact, Cuellar is advocating for more acceptance among Democrats for those who take a different view on this issue. There used to be multiple, at least, Democrats who held a similar position to Cuellar were more in a moderate camp when it came to this. And that is not just the reality of the Democratic caucus anymore.
It is not. No, it is not. And I think his desire to have more acceptance is probably not going to be heeded, not going to be successful. All of that said, this is a fascinating look at Cuellar, who is, you know, Cuellar is an endlessly interesting politician who has been a political survivor. I mean, he has won time and time again in a very difficult district. He has won primaries. He has won general elections. He has done it his way and has even overcome scandal. I mean, I think his house was raided. By the FBI, that's a big thing to bounce back from.
All right, with that, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it. Obviously, it's going to be a jam-packed week here in Washington. If you like the Daily Punch, please share it on social media. Tell your friends. We're also up for a Webby Award. We'd love if you voted for us. You can sign up and get more details on everything we talk about on this podcast and more by going to our punchbowl.news and signing up for our free morning newsletter. Have a great day and stay safe, everybody.